Joining us on the line now from the UK is journalist and author Lucy Hawking. She was with us on the book show in 2006, I think, talking about the accidental marathon. Well, she's back with us because since then she's produced a series of books, children's books, all about the character George Greenby. It's a series of adventure stories which aim to explain complex science to a young audience through dramatic storytelling. And she's written them alongside her father, Professor Stephen Hawking. The fourth book is out now. It's called George and the Unbreakable Code. Welcome to the book show, Lucy.
Hello, it's very nice to be back again, and I can't believe that all those years have passed since we last spoke. That time does really move very fast.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it? You've obviously been very busy in that time, though.
I have, and I've been a long way. I've been really all the way across the universe and back again since we last spoke, so I suppose I've had plenty to occupy myself with.
Oh, great stuff. So before we talk about George and the new series, I want to go back to the sort of transition between you being a journalist and becoming an author. Why did you decide to write books?
I wanted to work on projects with longer deadlines, with journalism. Everything is very snappy and quite immediate. And I wanted, I suppose, a bit more space to be able to explore themes in a fuller way. Mm. And also I wanted to write fiction. I wanted to be able to explore in a more creative and more dramatic sense. And so I had always really gone into professional writing with the idea that I would want to become a novelist or a creative writer. And so journalism was a sort of jumping off point for me.
So how did you know what kind of books you wanted to write? Because the more recent ones are very different, aren't they?
They are very different. And I think it is the way with a lot of creative people that you don't necessarily know what you're going to do next. An idea comes along and it can spring you off in a completely different direction, which you never thought you would go in.
So with the first few books then, what were they? How would you summarise them, I guess?
The children's books.
No, that Jaded and the Accidental Marathon.
I mean, they're almost from a different era now, it feels like. Mm-hmm. They're very much from the time of Chick Lit and the time of writing a lot about emotions of a certain type of 20 or 30-something year old who was finding their place in the world around them and having to deal with sort of challenges that arise through emotional situations, through professional situations, and finding yourself in a world, growing up as an adult into a world that you never thought you would inhabit. And I think that's a very common feeling. We all sort of go through our childhoods and our adolescence with what we think is a clear picture of what it would be like to be an adult. And then we become an adult and we realize it's completely different. And also that we just actually don't know as much as you thought you would know. You know, you thought you would go into adulthood and you'd have a lot of answers and you would know what to do. And most of adulthood seems to me to be about bluffing it.
So were they quite personal to you then, those books?
Not really. They're sort of bits and pieces of me and bits and pieces of friends and ideas I've had and conversations I've had. But they're in no sense autobiographical. They're just really meant to be fun, I think, more than anything else. Just something that you could get very absorbed in reading and that isn't going to change your life, but you might just have spent an enjoyable hour or couple of hours in this different altered fantasy world.
Yeah. So let's talk about George then. I had a look on your website earlier and watched a little video about how George came about. It was to do with your father and spaghetti, I believe.
Yes, it all comes back to the spaghetti every single time. My son, I think, would have been 8 at the time, and he had a birthday party, and his little friends came, and his little friends approached my father with all these questions, which I was surprised by. I was surprised by the way they were treating my father as though he was the magician who turned up. It was amazing how excited they were to see him. And this one little boy said to my father, he said, "So, Stephen, what would happen to me if I fell in a black hole?" And he really wanted to know the answer, and so did all the other kids. And my father said to him, "Well, you'd be turned into spaghetti." And all the kids were super excited by this response. And I suddenly, in that moment, the light bulb, that was sort of the light bulb moment for me. I thought, well, this is what we should do. We should write a story that explains, that starts with this inspiration. What would happen to me if I fell in a black hole? Because that's so clearly a story. It's about a boy who travels far enough across the universe to come into the event horizon of a black hole and fall into it. Well, who is that boy? What was he doing there? How did he get there? What's he doing anywhere near a black hole anyway? And then I thought we could actually give an answer that was scientifically accurate at the same time. So that's sort of where the beginning of the idea came from.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So kids can learn a lot from these books, as well as them being good stories.
The idea, so they're very much written in the mould of classic children's fiction. You know, you go through a doorway into another world, and you think, well, that's the door at the back of the wardrobe in Narnia. It's platform 9 3/4 in Harry Potter. There's a point that you pass beyond, and you're in this amazing, extraordinary, wondrous fantasy world. And my two heroes, who are called George and his best friend Annie, they go through a doorway, but it's generated by a computer, and it takes them out into the universe. But the twist is that they haven't gone to a fantasy world. They're actually experiencing the extraordinary and the bizarre and the counterintuitive nature of the universe that we inhabit. So as they have these adventures, you learn something. And we explain everything as well. There are bullet points and text boxes and essays by scientists included in all the books. So every term is explained. We give facts. We also elaborate on concepts so that we give some context to information. So it's not just a list of facts, but we actually try and say to you, well, what is this? What does this mean to you?
Mm.
You know, what do robotics mean if you're a child today? What might be happening in the future as far as, would you have a friend who's a robot? It's that sort of thing.
Yeah. Oh, great ideas. And I always find it interesting when people write books with somebody else. I always want to know, you know, how they do it. You do a chapter each or a couple of lines each? Or how does it work with your father?
Well, so my father is sort of conceptually, he's kind of hardwired throughout the whole series. So he exists within the book series on so many different levels. The first book is about Hawking radiation, so you could say that it actually rests on his 40-year career, more 40-plus year career as a professional scientist. He's kind of a character in the books. We have this rather quirky, very endearing, not quite an adult scientist called Eric, who's always trying to explain things to people and always sort of enthusing over scientific information while forgetting to do up his shoelaces. And that's very, he's very much based on my father, so that's his personality. And then Dad writes pieces for the book. So in the first book, there's a lovely recipe, How to Make a Black Hole, by Dad, which is great. And there's an essay by him in each one of the books. And he also provides ideas for what the book should be, like what science should we write about? How would we describe that science in a plot line, which is actually surprisingly difficult to do. Selecting the science is quite easy. Thinking of a science fiction storyline is quite easy. But finding a way that your science fiction storyline describes the science you want to teach is surprisingly difficult to do.
Yeah.
So he's there in so many different forms. I mean, I do the writing, and we've never made any secret of that. I write the books, and he consults and adds scientific information and fact checks and edits and provides sort of inspiration.
And is it fun working with your father?
It's great fun. we do have a few arguments, and I've said that in interviews before, and people have rather got the wrong idea. The only arguments in terms of the normal creative process that one would have with anybody,
yes.
Perhaps when they're actually a family member, you're slightly quicker on the draw than you might be if it was a professional colleague, because you've got other emotional baggage that you bring to a situation. You know, your father say something, you go, oh, you've been saying that about me since I was 5. You know, you wouldn't do that with a normal colleague, would you? So.
Fair enough, I get you. Have you already decided how many more books there's going to be in the series?
So I'm just finishing George and the Blue Planets, which is fifth and final. Ooh. In terms of the adventures of George and Annie, so my two heroes, I think George and the Blue Planets does go out with such a big finale that I wonder if I've left myself any room to do 6 and 7. I think I may have such a universe-ending scenario that it may be hard to it may be hard to do anything further after that. But I think that there are more books in George's universe. That's all I can say at this moment in time.
And have you spoken to your father about doing a different project together, doing something else?
I think that we've both very much enjoyed doing this series. We were talking about it just last week, and we were both made the same comment that we've actually done 5 books when we only intended to do one.
Oh.
We set out to write one book, which was to answer the question, what would happen to me if I fell in a black hole? And we set out to write that for that little boy at the birthday party. And from that very small aim, we've ended up with 5 books, which is now going to be made into an animated TV series.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. So I think we both felt like, do you know what? I think we've done our job better and more fully than anybody could have expected us to.
Sure. Oh, well done.
Thank you.
So this TV series then, is it one of those working progress things that could take forever, or is it closer than that?
I think it's closer than forever, hopefully. that sounds rather long. Yeah, I'm hoping that we'll maybe see something next year. It's going to be an animated TV series, which is very exciting because the whole point of this project is to reach kids and to reach them using media that they love, and books and stories, and so TV animation and online is a natural extension of that. So that's where we want to go, because what we want to do is to generate a real sense of excitement and wonder about science, about understanding science, and about following it up, taking it on another step, maybe going on to further study from what we're just trying to generate the excitement and the interest to get kids into science in education. So it would be very exciting to see it on TV because I think that would give it a real boost.
Oh, definitely. Oh, we're looking forward to that. And I have to ask you, the theory of everything,
yes,
everybody's talking about it.
I know.
Do you love it? Are you happy with it, you and your family?
I love it. I think it's a very, very beautiful film. I love it for all sorts of reasons that are maybe are perhaps a little eccentric. I mean, I love the portrayal of my parents. I think my parents are both heroic and extraordinary and amazing people. And I'm pleased that that's what comes across very strongly about both of them in the film. I think those two central performances by Eddie Redmayne and Felicity Jones are amazing.
Mm.
I mean, they're so accurate. They're really uncanny. There are certain moments where you almost think, oh, I don't know, are you real or not? It's
wow.
So weird. But then there are other things that I found very moving. You know, this is my grandparents have passed away, but, you know, to see your grandparents again on screen is very hot. And then Cambridge, there's a very period feel about the depiction of Cambridge. And a lot of people that I grew up with have said the same thing, that it's a lovely depiction of a Cambridge academic childhood. And it shows you a world that really is gone. You know, the world has moved on, Cambridge is different. But all the people I know who grew up in that, whether sort of idealistic, modest, but very intellectually elevated way, I think we all reacted to that. And we're like, gosh, yes, that is what it was like.
Mm.
So I found that very beautiful. And it's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
And it's
absolutely authentic.
It's very, they've worked really hard to make it authentic. And I like that very much.
I'm so pleased that you feel like that, because I and everyone I've spoken to absolutely loved it and thought Eddie and Felicity were absolutely fantastic.
Amazing.
And I hoped that you felt the same and weren't going to say, oh, no, I didn't get it right at all.
No, they do. They're spot on. I mean, the only thing for me is that I cry so much when I see that film. It's now getting to the point that I'm sort of got Pavlov's dog about it, because I just have to hear the theme music now and I start to well up. So.
Yes.
It really does. It really touches me, that film.
Oh, good. I'm so pleased, because it's really beautiful. And I learned so much about Stephen and his life and his career that I really didn't know.
Well, that's the other aspect about it that I like, is that everybody knows who he is, but only a small percentage of those people would actually be able to say, but what did he do? Why is he so famous? People would be like, I don't know. He's just that guy off The Simpsons. And it also sort of... puts my mother in context, like how hard she worked to keep him a full life, and what she sacrificed, what she gave up herself. And I think it's lovely that that's been shown, because otherwise there's a danger that he's seen in a sort of vacuum. And it is nice that some of the support that he's had is shown through the film.
Lovely.
And I think it's nice for people who do. We've had a very positive reaction, either from people who have motor neuron disease, ALS themselves, or people who care for them, or both, have reacted very positively to the film. So we're pleased about that as well.
Oh, that's really good. Something which I didn't realise and just couldn't believe is that when he was told he'd have about 2 years, wasn't it?
Oh,
God.
I know.
Just unbelievable.
I know. That's weird, isn't it?
Very weird.
You come away with a lot of unanswered questions, don't you? But how could that be? How is that? I don't understand what's going on here.
I got it so wrong, thankfully.
Yeah. But I met Minnie Me at the premiere.
Oh,
I met the
did
little
you?
Girl. So cute.
As I'm sure you were when you were little.
I think she's way cuter than I ever was. Oh, dear, she was so adorable. So little Raffaella Chapman. So I hope that she goes on to have an amazing career in the movies, because she's a very sweet and lovely little girl, and I think she did a very good job. So.
Aww.
Bless her.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to chat with you, Lucy Hawking. Thank you very much for joining us.
Well, nice to talk to you, Hannah, and I hope we'll talk again sooner.
Yeah, that would be lovely. If people want to find out more about you and your books, they can have a look on your website at lucyhawking.com.
Lucyhawking.com, yeah.
Great. And the latest book that we've been talking about, George and the Unbreakable Code. Lucy, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Hannah.